Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. Services are presented on YouTube, Facebook, and our website 1 week following recording.
This week's message is titled, The Glory of the Lord. Thank you to Dave, Ed, and Don for being involved in the video. The scripture reading is Isaiah 60, 1 to 3.
Welcome. We're glad you're here with us to worship God and to those who are viewing from afar and later. We hope that our worship will be uplifting to you. We have some announcements. The annual meeting is today after our worship service, and we hope that you can stay to be part of that. We have one birthday, which is today, and Joanne. There will be a baby shower for Ellen February the 12th, 3:30 to 4:30. And this will work by Ellen touring the Beamsville for a brief visit and receive gifts. If you would like to respond or contribute to the group gift, speak to Jen before February 7th. Prayer requests. Barbara has a family member who's facing two serious health issues and delays in treatment due to COVID. And our prayers certainly go to her and her family. And Phil is recovering from eye surgery. We pray for his healing. And there are several members of our congregation who are in isolation due to COVID cases within their family group. So we want to keep them in our prayers also. Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your presence, your direction through your Spirit, through the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. For your mercy and your grace toward us. And we pray for Barbara's family member who's facing these health issues and the delays. We pray for comfort, for patience. Pray for Phil and his recovery from his eye surgery, and for those who are currently in isolation due to COVID cases near their families or in their families or near family. We pray for them that they may avoid the disease and remain healthy. We ask that you be with us during our worship service and open our minds to receive the knowledge and the understanding that you would want us to have. Help us. Through Christ's name we pray. Amen. Scripture reading this morning, Isaiah 60, 1 to 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn.
On December 30th, I received the following devotional thought from Max Lucado. It's entitled, God's Good Plan. Satan's scheme to kill the Son of God was defeated on the cross he designed for Christ. Had Satan known that the death of the Messiah would mean death to him and life for us, he would have never crucified the king. He never saw it coming. And so that we would never forget, Jesus gave us our own celebration. He took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you." He also took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Luke chapter 22, verse 19 and 20. A broken body, spilled blood. Can good come from this? Communion says yes. You have a good God who has a good plan, and that plan is revealed in a good book. Today's confusion and crisis will be tomorrow's conquest. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for the gift of your Son, who came to this earth to defeat Satan and to provide salvation for us. These simple emblems at this time, the bread and the wine, we give you thanks for these because they remind us of Jesus' broken body and shed blood and our salvation. We pray, Father, that we might enter into this process with thankful hearts and hearts filled with gratitude that will bubble out in our lives because of your grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. And we all pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning to all. I don't think it's possible to picture something that you and I are going to experience one day. It's too overwhelming. But imagine what it's going to be like when you see God face to face. Throughout Scripture, there are people who wanted to see what God looked like. You remember, and we're going to read some scripture about this, Moses having this dialogue with God up on the mountain. And Moses said, "I want to see your face." And God said, "You can't. It's not that I don't want to show you, but you can't. If you saw my face, you would no longer exist. Because my glory is that profound." So I want to talk about something that we really can't talk about. Well, that's what preachers mostly do. Talk about things that we don't really grasp completely, but it's part of us that one day, and I wonder if you can imagine this, what it will be like standing in the presence of God and seeing his face and him seeing ours. That is a reality that will take place. What is the meaning of the glory of the Lord? It's all throughout Scripture, but what is it? It's synonymous with, not defining it, it's synonymous with splendor, honor, praise, worthiness. It's a phrase describing God's greatness, his consuming fire, and his tenderness, his radiance filled the tabernacle, you may remember. The word glory is sometimes attached to people, looking into the eyes of a brand new baby, how glorious. Or sometimes if you're far enough north and the sky is full of stars and satellites and stars flinging across the sky, it's, you just have to say, it's glorious. The glory of the Lord and His glory is attached to us, which is pretty outstanding. And I don't really know how to define it, but we're going to take a look at it today and look at some various scriptures. C.S. Lewis, wonderful theologian, said these words. He said, I've been suspected of being what's called a fundamentalist. That is because I never regard any scriptural narrative as unhistorical simply on the ground that it includes the miraculous. Someone says, I don't believe in anything miraculous. Well, what about yourself? We are all a miracle of God. And yet here we are. So I want to start back in the Old Testament. And today, if there's any strength to this lesson, I've just preached it, is now just kind of backing up what I've said by reading a number of scriptures from the Old Testament. Some of these are lovely stories. They're profound stories, but they're really quite lovely. So you may want to follow along with me. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 33, Moses and God have been dialoguing. And Exodus is a unique book. It doesn't always follow chronologically. Sometimes it leaps ahead, and then it comes back again to explain things better. But in Exodus, it's the story of Moses going up to get the commands of God, and the glory of the Lord shone around him. So in chapter 33, starting in verse 18, it says this. Then Moses said to God, now show me your glory. Now, this is a man talking to God. How did he say it? Is it demanding? Is it forceful? Now you show me your glory, God. Or was it, God, would you show me your glory? And then the Lord said, I will cause all of my goodness, not my glory, that's too much. I will cause my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. And then he says this, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. But he said, Moses, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. Then the Lord said, there is a place near me where you may stand on a rock, and when my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I pass by. And it's not him passing by, it's his glory passing by. But his glory is so powerful that Moses wouldn't be able to handle it. And so I say again, can you imagine what it will be like when we stand in the presence of God and see him face to face? Throughout Scripture, we have these really interesting stories. Staying in Exodus in chapter 34, this is also interesting. This is the story, again, of Moses being up and talking to the Lord. So in 34, starting in verse 29, here's what happens next. So Moses came down from the mountain after the glory of God sees him, with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, the commandments. And he was not aware, this is Moses is saying, he was not aware that his face was glowing, that his face was radiant. because he had spoken with the Lord. He had the glory of the Lord on him. And when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him and gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. Isn't that remarkable? The glory of the Lord is on him so much, that's so bright, that he has to cover himself. Because anytime he goes up to see the Lord, the glory of the Lord is still on him. You can't wipe that off. The glory of the Lord. And when he came out and told the Israelites what had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses put the veil back over his face, and he went in to speak with the Lord. Seems like that glory just sort of finally withered away until the next time he spoke to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him, and the glory came to him. I often think about praying, that we're not just asking, but we're standing in the presence of God. When you pray, it's just God and you, or Jesus. And you're talking to the one who created not only all things, but you and the people you love more than you love yourself. It's the glory that he gives us, the glory of God. And so in chapter 40, and I'm still in Exodus, here's this interesting story as well. It's the very last paragraph in the book of Exodus. It's Exodus chapter 40. And I'm going to start reading in verse 34. The cloud covered the tent of the meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. That would be like all of a sudden the glory of God comes into here. Here's this place full of the glory of God. It filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. It'd be like all of us outside, and all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord fills this place. Okay, he wants to go in first. It's not that we don't want to. It's just that it's so amazingly powerful. And God gives you and I his glory. And it comes through Jesus. And all throughout the scripture, Old and New Testament, the glory of the Lord reminds us, constantly reminds us, of how we need to be close to God himself. So there's some interesting stories in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And just, you probably know this story from the past. It's Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling out to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." So in heaven, you have this amazing experience taking place, and they're saying to us on the earth, God's glory is everywhere. One day, we will see him, as we sang today, or listened to the song, face to face. Oh, that will be glory. Oh, that will be glory. So in Isaiah chapter 6, he has this remarkable experience. And then in chapter 60 of Isaiah, toward the very end of the book, it's called the Glory of Zion. Zion is simply reminiscent of not only heaven, but heaven on earth through the Israelites, through the commandments of God and the patriarchs before Christ comes. And so in Isaiah chapter 60, it says this, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thickness, darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of the dawn." It's this unique experience, this unique story of the glory of God in profound ways. So without necessarily using the word glory, let me give us a couple of examples in the Old Testament particularly where the word glory really isn't used, but it's a cool story, two cool stories that really talk about this amazing experience of what God can accomplish in people's lives. And so in Ezekiel chapter 36, God is speaking and sharing to Israel what the glory of God can particularly look like. So in Ezekiel chapter 36, beginning in verse 23, "I will show the holiness of my great name," God says, "which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations, and I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your land." And I love this scripture. "I will sprinkle clean water on you spiritually, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you so that you may be careful to keep my laws." And then in chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, there is this remarkable story. And if it wasn't true, it would be maybe a nightmare. But the fact that it was true would have been incredible. It's called the Valley of Dry Bones. And it's one of the coolest stories in the Bible. If you've never read it, let me just go ahead and read it. Chapter 37, 1 through 14. Ezekiel, being a prophet of God, says this, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Holy Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley, except that its valley was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Ezekiel, can these bones live?' And Ezekiel said, 'O sovereign Lord, only you know.' And then he said to me, God said to me, 'Preach to these bones.'" There's a preacher joke there, but I won't go anywhere near that. "Preach to these bones, the sovereign Lord says, and I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will breathe in you and you will come to life." He's talking to the bones. "Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, I preached as I was commanded. And as I was preaching, There was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. There's a body, but no breath. Then he said to me, "Preach to the breath. Preach, Son of Man, and say it. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe from the four winds into these slain, that they may live." So I preached as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life, and they stood on their feet. They came to life, and they stood on their feet as a vast army. Then he said to me, "Son of Man, these bones are the house of Israel. And they say, 'Our bones are dried up, and our hope is gone, and we are cut off.' Therefore, preach to them and say, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. O my people, I'm going to open up the graves and bring you from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel, that you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open those graves and bring you up from them and put my spirit in you, and you will live.'" Which is our story. Our story is that one day we're going to die. Just as we were born, we're going to die. But we're going to not just have dry bones. Away from the body, present with the Lord. It's this remarkable story that all has everything to do with glory. Looking into the face of a brand new baby. Glorious. Sometimes there are no words. I remember Barb and I being with Rhiannon when she was having her child, and it was touch and go for the longest time. And I remember it was a long day, a long night, and this lovely, lovely nurse was up and down the halls, and Rhiannon was struggling and so forth, and this nurse came in and just kind of moved everybody out of the way and said, "Okay, we're going to now have this baby." And away she went, and whatever she did, she did. It's almost like she commanded that baby to come out of her. And there she was, holding this beautiful baby. And, you know, there are no words. And I think that's what God is trying to say to us, that the glory of the Lord is upon us. And you can't really grasp what that means. It's God's glory he puts in us. Trying to grasp this eternity that we have, that God knew us before we were born, and that he welcomes us into his glory someday. So the church in Corinth, and I'll wrap up now, the church in Corinth was having such conflict, always some kind of internal conflict. There was food. You know, can we eat this food or not eat this food? Is this what God wants us to do? Here's how we should worship, and here's not how we should worship. It was just a conflict all the way throughout. And Paul encourages them, like today, to be people of love, to be people of grace, to be people of forgiveness, to be people who shine with the glory of God, because God gives us his glory. I want to leave the Old Testament and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's a beautiful passage of scripture. And you'll notice how often the word glory is used. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. "Now with the ministry that brought death," talking about the Old Testament, Ten Commandments and so forth, "was engraved in letters on stone, and if it came with glory," that it did, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses when he came down from the mountain, had to cover his face. The glory fading out was, will not the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which we have, be even more glorious? Did you catch that? Moses comes down the mountain and his face is glorious, so glorious that we can't even look at him. And Paul says, but that glory that lives in us is greater than that glory, the glory of God. So in verse 9, he says, and if the ministry that condemns people is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings us righteousness? For what has for that which has glorious no has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory that will be. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, based on all that, we're going to be very bold. And here's his words. We are not like Moses, who could put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away, but their minds were made dull. For to this day, that same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces, this is us, all reflect the Lord's glory, we are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Never say God doesn't do good things for us. The glory of God has come upon us. It's us that needs to make it shine, not hidden in darkness. What is there to hide? He loves us. Jesus lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We have scripture to read. One day, we're going to see him face to face and all our loved ones again. Oh, that will be glory. It's not just a word. It's a reality of what we have. So Paul talks about this glory over and over again. Last scripture in chapter 4. Let me just read these words, and then I'll be done. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we don't lose heart. Rather, we renounce secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing. They're never going to see it. And the God of this age, G-O-D, not capital G, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the light of the gospel and they can't see the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge, listen, of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure, Jesus, in jars of clay, that's us, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not abandoned. We're struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our bodies. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, so I spoke. With the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, will also raise you and I with Jesus and present us with you in God's presence. That's our reality. All this is for our benefit, I guess so, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving and overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Outwardly, yep, we're wasting away. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory. And that outweighs them all. May the glory of the Lord shine brightly in all our lives. Amen.
Great song choice at the end, and ask a lot of questions. What are you going to be able to do? How will you express yourself in the glory of God? Worship is it. We are so limited in our ability to be eloquent in describing the glory of God. Language fails us. So we have to rely on the Spirit, as Donna suggested. Thank Ed and Don for their words this morning. I'd like to read another passage. It speaks to his glory. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 14. Praise be to the glory to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I'm going to accentuate a word here, and I hope you'll pick up on this. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, and which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. To him we were also chosen, to having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with his purpose, the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. May our lives be to the praise of his glory. Let's pray. Father, we realize our human limitations of understanding and comprehension. We ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to be directed by your Spirit, which is alive in us through the gift of your grace in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the opportunities that you grant us every day. Teach us to rely on your Spirit's direction. We pray to be more aware of your presence and the avenues of service and help to those in need. And we thank you. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We are currently holding in-person services following provincial COVID-19 regulations. If you would like to be part of the videos but aren't comfortable joining us in person, you can send us a video. Get in touch via email or on Facebook for more details. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved, worldwide. You can find out more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.